Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up on Long Island in New York, earned a Bachelor of Science in Accounting from the University of Kentucky. After serving for 5 years as a CPA, he joined the Breakers in 1985, and in 1994, he became its president. The Breakers is a historic 538-room Italian Renaissance-style hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. It was opened in 1896 by Henry Flagler to accommodate travelers on his Florida East Coast Railway. Our guest, his name, Paul Leone. And I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the CEO of the Breakers. If you haven't been there, get there. And his name, Paul Leone. Paul, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let's go back. Long Island, talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Yeah, that's something I love to talk about. My mom and my dad, two of the hardest working, kindest, most generous people. With five children in our family and back in the 50s, 60s, modest, you know, lifestyle. My mom and dad worked really hard, and we had a great upbringing. My mom, I'll start with mom. Mom did a number of jobs. She always had to work an extra job to help my dad. My dad always worked two or three jobs. And at one point, my mom really pursued a dream and became a New York City policewoman. In 1970, I tell you, Jack, that was a rare thing to have a woman on the New York City police force, and she was not in an office job, you know, sort of on the administrative team. She was a full-blown police officer, and it was not only my mom, it was her older sister, my Aunt Ida, and her next youngest sister, my Aunt Mary. All three of them joined the police force and made history back then, something I'm really proud of. And my dad just had sort of menial labor job. His job when I was growing up in Long Island was driving a truck, and you know, long hours, would drive a truck, a delivery truck, all day, and then go to another job at night, part-time job. And as I said, two of the hardest working. You know, we didn't have much, but we didn't want for anything. I'll tell you that. My parents provided for us and set a really nice example.
At age 15, you move with your family to Paris. Not that Paris, but Paris, Kentucky. And then you got into the motel business. So talk about being 15 years old, working in that motel.
Yeah, that is right. And you chuckled, and I did too. When I heard Paris, first of all, as a 15-year-old, most 15-year-olds don't want to leave their friends, right, and leave their school. And I didn't. But when I heard Paris, I thought, wow, maybe this could be interesting. We're going to France. And then my mother followed it with Kentucky. And we were kind of surprised. But we ended up in Paris, and it was one of the greatest things that could have happened. It was a difficult transition, but as you inquired about, it led to me getting my first taste of business, and not just business, but the hotel business, when we bought the Starlight Motel, 17-room roadside motel, in Paris, right on the main street coming into Paris from Lexington. And so we had, you know, the best location. And in real estate and in the hotel business, of course, location, location, location. But I remember distinctly, I mean, I can feel it as I say it to you, first time getting behind the front desk and checking someone in, it really resonated with me. I loved the feel of it, and it wasn't just the front desk. I went on to do every job there was to do, from making beds to cleaning rooms to, we had a small restaurant, to doing all the restaurant jobs. And the other thing was, my family was sort of struggling at that time financially, and it was really good feeling to tally up the receipts at the end of the night. I remember a good day back then, Jack, was $350 in revenue. And I thought we had hit the jackpot because we could rely on that every day, and that's where I started my love of the hospitality business.
Paul, it's just a few more zeros. That's all it is today, a few more zeros. So, all right, speaking of money, you studied accounting at University of Kentucky. Why accounting?
Yeah, I did. And another blessing, really, for me, how that worked out. I was in 11th grade, like most 11th graders. You start to think about where you might go to college and what you might study. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a very good student in those days. And when my stepdad, there was a part of the story where my parents got divorced and my mother remarried. That's why we moved to Kentucky. But my stepdad said to me, midway, I think, through the 11th grade year, he said, "Paul, where are you going to go to college?" And honestly, when he asked me that question, I turned around and I thought he was talking to someone else. I said, "You're talking to me?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I'm not college material." And my stepdad thankfully said, "You absolutely are. Your grades don't reflect your potential, and you're going to college, so where are you going to go?" And so that decision was made in that moment. And then it was, what should I study? And at that point, my uncle Lou Biscotti, who was only 10 years older than me, so he was my uncle, but almost felt like my cousin, given our age difference. And he had started his own accounting firm. He came up through the Big Eight with Deloitte back then, and he was doing really well. And I always looked up to Uncle Lou, and I just simply thought, well, he seems to be doing really well. He's a true professional. I admired him, and I said, "I'm just going to follow in his footsteps." It wasn't like I woke up one day and said, "Gee, I'd love to study accounting." It was more about, I want to follow in Uncle Lou's footsteps. And again, that was a really critical move to my future success.
We're talking to Paul Leone, and after college, he joined Coopers & Lybrand, and eventually they sent him to a place called Palm Beach, Florida. When we come back, we're going to ask Paul about Palm Beach, Florida. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisullo. We're with Paul Leone. Since 2016, he's been the CEO of The Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida. So you moved from Kentucky to Palm Beach. Tell us about Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes, I moved from Kentucky. I had a great 10-year run, thankfully getting in the motel business, going to the University of Kentucky. I came out with the best job I could have hoped for, working with one of the Big Eight accounting firms, Coopers & Lybrand, in Louisville, Kentucky. And my career was going well, but my family had relocated, sold the motel, and relocated to Florida. That's one of the reasons I sort of came this way. And another was just wanting to get to a bigger city. I loved Louisville, I loved Kentucky, but I thought it was time to make a move, and I could also follow my family. And I thought I was going to Miami. Jack, being transferred to Miami, the big office in Miami of Coopers, and just by an act of fate, really, I took a one day sort of to think about the move, and when I called Coopers back, they said, "Actually, you're going to West Palm Beach, not Miami." And when I got to West Palm Beach, I was fortunate to have as my biggest account the Breakers Palm Beach, and I was introduced to Palm Beach. I knew nothing about Palm Beach, and of course, you know today, and I do, it's one of the greatest, the most beautiful luxury resort communities of its kind in this country, if not the world. And I was really taken by it. It was so beautiful, and the Breakers was magnificent. And I was fortunate to have them as my biggest client when I arrived here.
All right. It's 538 rooms. It opened on January 16th, 1896. I believe that's 127 years ago, by a man named Henry Flagler. Tell us about Mr. Flagler.
Yeah, Henry Flagler really was, in his time, one of the most successful business people, not only in the oil business where he started, but he was really entrepreneurial. And so as a partner of Rockefeller, he was one of the top partners of Standard Oil, and that's where he made his fortune. And yet, as he retired with that fortune, he was so audacious and entrepreneurial, he decided to take on a new venture and started building the railroad along the entire east coast of the state of Florida. And Florida, of course, back then was so primitive, and it was the beginning of the development of Florida. And the big idea that Flagler had was that with each mile of railroad that he developed with the government's approval, he would get acres and acres of land. And so he ended up as he built the railroad all the way down the east coast of Florida and all the way to Key West, ultimately, he had accumulated tens of thousands of acres of land. And at a number of the stops, he built big resort hotels, seasonal winter hotels. And the Breakers was the most significant of those properties. And Palm Beach was his really became his home, even though he owned property. He owned most of the city of Miami at one point in the early days. That's how significant his development was and how audacious he was, because it was there was no development here. There was very little infrastructure. And so he's credited with really developing the entire east coast of Florida back in the day.
You turn off road A1A, and you enter the drive. I don't know if it's a half block long, a block long, phenomenal, with fountains. And then you go through the main doors. Describe the main lobby that you enter every day, Mr. Leone.
Yes, I will. And I'll tell you, 39 years into my career here with the Breakers, I still walk into that lobby and I marvel at it. So, and I watch our guests almost every time I walk through the lobby, because my office is located right here on property. I see guests who come in for the first time. They do what I did, and they look up, and they see this magnificent hand-painted fresco ceiling and the architecture of what you would see in Italy, in particular, Italian Renaissance architecture. This building was modeled after the Villa Medici in Rome, which was a private estate. So of course the Breakers is much bigger, but modeled after that, and was built in 1925, opened in 1926, with the help of about 1,000 Italian artisans. So you're looking, if you did not know you were in Palm Beach, you would think you were in Rome, Italy, or some other beautiful part of Italy, given the magnificence and uniqueness of the architecture and the art.
The only thing I've seen comparable is the Vatican Museums and Versailles. All right, then you go to have a bite to eat in the Circle Dining Room. Tell us about that special circular glass room.
Yeah, the Circle Dining Room is we have beautiful public spaces, as you know, but the Circle gets more attention than any of the other rooms because of its shape, the circular shape of it, and the dome, about a 30-foot high ceiling, dome ceiling. So it's not only round in the perimeter, but domed up to the ceiling with a big skylight. And so that the uniqueness of the shape of it, but also because it looks out over the Atlantic Ocean. And it's interesting, while the breakers in 1926, breakers three, because the first two were wooden structures and burned down previously, this structure was open in 1926 to such success that they immediately realized they did not have enough seating for breakfast and dinner, and they added the Circle. So I just marvel at the fact that they had already built this masterpiece, and then they made an addition, and the addition became really the most prominent room of all the historic rooms of the Breakers.
We're talking to Paul Ioni. If you want to learn more, www.thebreakers.com. Culture, it's been stated, will eat strategy every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Very true. When we come back, we're going to ask Paul about the Breakers culture. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Paul Ioni, and we're talking about the Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida. If you've never been there, go. Paul, describe the Breakers culture for us.
The Breakers culture is something that I and the Keenan family, our owners and my leadership team, are most proud of. I mean, you heard me say earlier, I've spent most of my adult life here, 39 years, helping carry on the history, sustain it, but build upon it. And while we have rebuilt really every aspect of the company and property while maintaining all the historic properties, one of which I just talked about, parts of the property, like the Circle, what we're most proud of is the way we rebuilt and repositioned the culture of the company. And the way we talk about that is very simple, but I think somewhat profound. And that is, we place employee satisfaction as our top priority, on the simple ideas that happy employees will be more productive. They'll take greater pride in their work. They'll have a better work-life experience. And we'll have greater productivity and lower turnover, which sounds so obvious. And yet, it's very hard to execute and carry on for most businesses. For us, we've been able to live up to our commitment to that. Not only live up to it, but as we developed this approach and realized the benefits of it. And I don't just mean financial, to a greater degree. I mean the impact we're having on thousands of people and their families. We doubled down on it. And so we really started building this new culture. And listen, of course, the Breakers and the Keenans always cared about people, but we took it to another level in 1994. And it has become the key point of differentiation. We just talked about the beauty of the property, and it's a masterpiece. It's a one-off. And you used a good reference. Yeah, it looks like the Vatican Museum if you look up at the ceiling. But what our guests today, they confirm to me literally every week, almost every day of the year, that the key differentiator is actually how happy and productive and helpful our employees are. So our culture, we call it, Jack, a culture of care and friendliness. And that doesn't sound like a business concept, but it's true. And it's not a game. It's not an act. It's not a mission statement. It is putting employee satisfaction as our number one priority.
If you want to learn more, www.thebreakers.com. All right, Paul, you have about 15,000 applicants per year. You only hire 500, and you focus on the quality of the person. And when you hire somebody, the first thing they have to do is go out and do community service right after orientation, and you pay them for that. In addition, I believe that every one of your 2,000-plus teammates must volunteer at least 16 hours per year, and you pay them for those hours. That's well over $1 million a year. Paul, you're an accountant. Why? Why?
Yeah, that's right. That is a huge investment, and therein is the key word. This is an investment, not an expense. Now, by pure accounting standards, the accountant in me, yes, it's going to be written off on the income statement, but we view that as an investment. An investment in the growth of our employees, giving them another experience, an investment in emphasizing from day one in new employee orientation that this isn't just about business. It's not just about making a profit. It's about making a difference in people's lives, not only our employees, our community. It's an investment in our team feeling proud of the impact they can make in the community. So along with that, we, Jack, as you mentioned, the hiring statistics, I can easily argue we have 500 more employees on our team than a similar-sized luxury hotel. And that's an investment. That extra 500 is an investment in providing a much better work-life experience, quality of job that impacts the quality of your life because we have the reinforcements, and it's a huge expense. That's a $30 or $40 million additional expense, but we view it as an investment.
All right. There might be some listeners saying, that wouldn't work for me and my organization, but in April of 2023, Fortune magazine named the top 100 companies in America to work for. The Breakers were number 65. It's the first family-owned business to ever be awarded as such.
We are going to continue to invest in this principle of employee satisfaction driving our business and how important culture is. Culture trumps everything. And so getting that recognition, we don't play the awards game we don't chase ratings. But of course, it was incredibly meaningful and affirming and made our family ownership and our team extremely proud. And I will say at the risk of, this may come across the wrong way, but I was not surprised because our team is bringing, their performance is outstanding, and I hear that from our guests every day. Our guest ratings are off the charts, just like our employee ratings, and so it's sort of all added up, and that award confirmed that.
Okay, every time Pam and I have walked into the Breakers, everything emanates first class. From the greeters, the wait staff, the cleaning people, the walls, the ceilings, furniture, the food, the ambiance. And Ross Perot says it's a funny thing about people quite often when they get successful, they quit doing the very things that made them successful. So, Paul, every day is a tryout for you and your team. How do you keep doing it every day?
You're exactly right, and it's interesting. Our next generation of the family, who we are more of them of the family ownership, are getting involved in governance and the stewardship of this property, not in management. But many of them have asked me that same question, and I said there's two key parts to that, and there are others, but one is goes back to the hiring. With our behavioral hiring approach, we are trying to find out if people, it's easy to figure out if they have the skills. You look at their experience and their education and their the jobs they've had, but it's not very easy to figure out if they have the energy and the to bring every day to work their best energy. And their energy is both physical and, more importantly, emotional, that they are their pride. They bring it to it every day. So our team is coming in every day like they're playing for the Super Bowl. I kid you not. And the other side of this, though, is from a leadership standpoint, we think the enemy is complacency. It's not our top competitors. We have competitors. It's not the economic issues that arise, the disruptions. Of course, those are challenging, but the biggest enemy to us in our culture is getting complacent. So back to your other question, super proud we made that Fortune 100. I mean, it's staggering for a small company like ours to end up on that list. And we celebrate that, and then we get right back to work. And we never want to be complacent, back to Ross Perot's point.
The Breakers has been around for 127 years and is the only large historic luxury resort in America still in the hands of its original owners. When we come back, we're going to ask Paul Leone about his personal philosophy. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Paul Leone. Paul, you've described your philosophy personally as servant leadership. And your life motto is be nice and work hard. That's not going to cut it today, Paul. Most would say that won't work today. How does it work?
You know, I agree with you. Most would say it would not work. And when I was a younger executive becoming a leader for the first time, when I became president of the hotel at 36 years old in 1994 and had a chance for the first time in my life to truly lead, I thought, wow, this is an opportunity to see if being nice, if you know, you could... you could actually be successful in this competitive sort of dog-eat-dog world and business. Back to the discussion about culture, about taking care of people, if we could actually run a successful enterprise. And I just thought, and thankfully, again, my mentors and our owners were all in on that. We success for us was not, it was unacceptable for that just to be financial success. And so, again, we've proven that case. That case has been proven. Our results are far better than we ever imagined, taking this approach of servant leadership, where, starting with me, and our top leaders, we're here to serve, not to be served. And our job is to help everyone else be successful on our team. And we flip the organizational chart upside down, number one. And another simple concept, but powerful, is the idea of leading by example, right? I mean, you got to walk the talk. And so that has been a huge part of our success and my style of leadership, never asking someone to do anything I wouldn't do myself, and being out there in the front lines leading by example. So I'm proud of what we've done, and I have to say a little bit surprised, I think, to the point of your question, because business is, you know, supposed to be more about, you know, it's typically more of a fight, a dog eat dog, as I said, and you can't really, I think a lot of companies don't think they can afford to sort of introduce this level of care and friendliness and actually succeed.
All right. I think Tom Peters had a book, 8 Great Things That All Great Companies Have, and one was Management by Walking Around. Every time Pam and I come, I see you every day, just walking, talking, listening to guests, employees, wait staff. You're like a swan in water. You look not a care in the world. You're dressed impeccably. I think underneath, you're paddling like crazy. Talk about the art of listening and walking around.
Yeah, I think these things all sort of come together. That question and the idea of the culture and the idea of leading by example, they're very simple. They almost sound too simple, and yet how profound. And so I have learned more about the business. I have touched I've had more people touch me when I walk around than me touching them. Every employee, I bumped into 5 different employees coming over to the office before our call after lunch. Every one of them had a positive impact on me. And I'd like to think I had the same on them, but I'm going to emphasize how much of an impact they had on me. Good to see you, Mr. Leone. Thank you, Mr. Leone. Wow, you know, I heard about this new program. Our guests stop me and tell me about our staff. They reinforce in me and give me even more motivation to carry on this mission the way we've done it. So, you know, management by walking around, it has had a profound impact on our business. And I would much prefer to be out of my office than in my office, and thankfully I do a lot of that.
All right, talking about guests, you see 3-4 generations of families every day eating in the Circle dining room, you know, lounging at the various pools on the beach. What does that teach you, Paul?
Well, one of the things it teaches me, you know, in our business, and I don't think it's, you know, unique to the hotel business, but I grew up in this business right from the get-go, understanding that one of the key principles on the business side is repeat business, right? The more you can build your repeat business, the less you have to market and advertise, and if those repeat customers are happy, they will do your marketing for you. And so you're right, there's multi-generational activity here where we have two things that are important about that. There are others. Two are, one, the point about repeat business. They're bringing their next generation. They're setting the table for us. And the other side is just the joy of that, because family is so important. And family vacations, which are fleeting for a lot of families, you know, busy lives and the cost involved, to be able to serve the family unit that way for us is sort of the ultimate hospitality that we could justify families taking that very precious time and their resources and bringing it here, spending it here, spending it with us.
Okay, speaking of family, when you were 12, your mom became a New York City cop on the street. Okay? Then you guys moved to Paris, Kentucky. She runs a little 13-room motel. When mom is at the Breakers with you, what does she say to you? And Paul, what do you say to mom?
Yeah, thank you again for recognizing how amazing that is, what my mom did back then. And yeah, she couldn't be more proud. She comes in here. And by the way, my team makes her feel like the queen of the Breakers anytime she's on prop. They love to see Mama Leone. And what she says to me, you know, I will tell you, she says, I knew you had a lot of ability, and I'm really proud of what you've done. You've made us all really proud. My mother's my biggest fan.
And what do you say to mom?
Yeah, what I say to mom is right back to where we started this conversation. And my mom set the example. I wouldn't be here without her. And my dear dad is not around any longer. But I thank her for setting the example. And it all ties together beautifully and simply and profoundly. Be nice and work hard. That is my mother at her essence. And within that is the generosity. Couldn't do enough for her friends or neighbors, her family. And somehow that rubbed off on me, thank God.
www.thebreakers. Paul Leone, that life motto, be nice and work hard. You truly live it every day. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you so much, Jack. Great being with you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Believe in yourself.